Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
It is episode 144 of the Say Hey Podcast, part of the Believe Podcast Network. I'm Doug Hayes. It is November 21st, 2024. Bringing in Say Hey Rob and Say Hey Brooks, coming in on a beautiful Thursday and about to be really wet Friday. How's it going, guys?
We are going, huh? Good to be back on the show. What's up, Robbo?
What's up, guys? It's starting to feel a lot like winter meeting season. Hey, we are here finally for Giants fans. The season, that was not it, guys. This is the exciting part where we get our hopes up and then get kicked in the nuts. But right now we're in the hopes up stage, so that's good. We're here. I'm excited.
I don't know, Rob. Some people think this organization's a sinking ship right now.
Like the Titanic or like Jack Sparrow in the beginning of the first Pirates movie where he walked off fine.
Yeah, but usually a sinking ship is very obvious and you know it's sinking. It's not like, like, you know, you're sinking, right? Like, so it's okay. I think the Giants might have been a sinking ship before they made a major switch at the top and had Buster say, excuse me, Farhan, can I take this seat here? Thanks.
There's tape on the holes, at least right now. Don't know if that tape will hold, but at least they're still afloat. That's the way I look at it.
Their pride's pretty shot. I mean, you know, look who won the World Series. Look who the MVP is. I mean, it's tough going for Giants fans right now. But if you people out there listening to this episode right now, you obviously love that type of punishment. You know, listening to us talk about the Giants and all their problems. You know, we might have some good stuff for you, too.
It's the world it's the world that we never wanted to live in, but now it's here. So we got to accept it and figure out how we're going to survive with the Dodgers being world champs for at least 1 year. But hey, we got to embrace it, you know.
Embrace the suck.
The origin story, the villain, you know, character arc right now. Let's see the Giants return to prominence and be the bad boys once again. So Buster at the helm, you know, this is the right guy to do that. And there was a little bit of a shakeup. Someone in the front office, someone in the dugout has gone to greener pastures. Isn't that right, Doug?
Yes. Take a couple of housekeeping notes here. First one, we'll go with Alyssa Nacken. We'll be going to Cleveland to join Stephen Vogt and his staff. But she will be going to the front office as an assistant to player development. This is all coming from – wait, that's not – oh, no, that is right. Steven Rizzotto is the one first on this. A little golf clap for our buddy Steven, huh?
Never heard of him.
Is that the producer from 95.7 The Game?
That is the producer. But first, second most important, Giants Chatter admin, first most important, our friend. Steven Rizzotto. Hey, really proud of that guy. He was the first to break it this morning. Make sure you go and check out that article on his X, his Substack on X at Steven Rizzotto. He breaks down what happened there with Nacken going to the Guardians now. So, we don't really need to talk about what's going on with that, but just wanted to give a big shout out to Steven for being the first to break that. And now it's, you know, going out throughout the league and he's getting his credit on that. So super proud of Steven on that. Just want to give him a quick shout out.
And I quadruple checked. Not one person beat Steven to that. So Steven, you are the GOAT, baby. You are the GOAT.
True that. Good work, Steven, and keep it up.
Last thing before we get into our main topics tonight, in case you didn't know, Bobby Evans is back. The San Francisco Giants. I see there's a 60-40 split of people being happy or upset, or actually maybe like 60-30-10, and the 10, which I fall in, is I really don't care. 60 being pissed off that he's back because he just ran the Giants into the ground and people think he's going to do it again. 30 is like happy because, you know, he was very much involved in the 3 world championships, being Brian Sabian's right hand man. And I fall into the 30-10, I guess I would say, because look, he's coming back as an advisor. He's not coming back as a general manager, as a president of baseball operations. He's coming back to advise. He's not going to be the one signing deals. He's just there to literally do what his title is, and that's advise. So Buster Posey has known him for a long time now, about, what, 15, 16 years, and he trusts him. So he's coming back to just lean on for advice. I think that it got way blown out of proportion, but, you know, people love the bitch, so.
Yes, they do. And it's not unlike what Farhan Zaidi did when he first joined the Giants organization. He brought a lot of his trusted individuals, people that he worked with, former advisors, former friends from the Dodgers organization, Gabe Kapler, A's with Bob Melvin, a lot of the co-conspirators to his past organizational seats that he held with the different clubs. And that's kind of what you do. You don't just go and look for nothing but outsiders. Hi, what's your name? Do you want to be part of my front office? You know, like you do lean on a lot of the people that kind of helped you, kind of sculpted you to be someone that could even think of going from MVP star catcher to I'm going to retire early. Hey, see you later. Oh, I'm going to be a, you know, small stake owner, stakeholder of the Giants. And then to work his way all the way up to president of baseball operations at like the perfect time for Buster to kind of come in here. The bar is super low. Fans are just looking for something to kind of grab onto and show us that we are moving in the right direction. So, of course, he's going to bring in somebody like Bobby Evans, who he knows he had a front row seat, you know, for some part of his career to actually see what Bobby was doing. Because I say that not just because Buster was a player, we all know that, but I don't think not everybody knows that Buster Posey was in a lot of the meeting rooms with John Lester and Bobby Evans, right? Trying to pitch him, Shohei Ohtani, right? Buster was there. I'm talking about when Ohtani was going to sign with the Angels. Buster was in the meeting room. This is why it's not so bizarre and out of the ordinary that Buster has found his way into this current role. He's obviously had a interest in how it works, all the dealings, the goings on behind the doors. So, Bobby Evans coming here. Last thing I'll say about him, I'll toss it to Rob, is he had one bad year, if you really think about it, 2017. And then he, you know, made some changes. He got Andrew McCutchen, you know, Evan Longoria, all that stuff. But they were competitive as hell in 2018 until September. And then they fell off. But they really only just had that one bad year under Bobby Evans. He took them, you know, to the postseason in 2016. So Bobby Evans being back, I'm actually in the group of excited that he's back with the organization. I think he is going to be a huge influence.
Yeah, I lean towards the, like, I'm glad he's back in a minimal role, like Doug was saying. But it's funny, like, we're checking all the boxes here. The Giants are doing a good job, like, pissing off certain, like, areas of the fan base. Like, they promote the very first guy that Farhan hired into the organization and Zach Manajian to be the GM. So that pissed off all the truthers, all the old school people, like, oh, not another nerd in the GM role. And then, and then what do? They circle back and go, oh, don't worry guys. We're going to bring back Bobby Evans. Since you love the old school so much, we're going to bring back Bobby Evans. Like, we're pissing everybody off, man. We're checking all the boxes. We're fine.
Balance, baby.
Yeah, it's all about balance, you know, just like Mr. Miyagi said, you know, it's all about balance, you know, and like, yeah, I don't care that much. Like you said, Doug, or Buster Posey, he's tight with Bobby Evans. I think a lot of us assumed if there was going to be an old name come back for the advisory role, it was going to be like Brian Sabian coming back from the Yankees, who I assume must love his job over there with Steinbrenner and Cashman. So, but no, I didn't expect Bobby Evans to be a name that would pop back up ever again, but here we are. And guys, I don't think it's really that big of a deal. So the Giants got bigger problems.
Never mind. I had a thought on that. I'm going to keep it to myself. We'll end it with that. All right. So, you know, obviously free agency kind of just slowly getting underway. The last awards for the season were handed out today. Don't need to talk about the National League MVP. That's obvious. But so came up with the idea of the three of us just coming in with three random Giants topics and just talking about them a little bit. So, Rob kind of brought up an idea or a topic the other day, and I was just like, well, why don't we just all bring a topic to the table? And so since Rob did the first one in our chat the other day, I'm going to let Rob have the floor. And here's topic number one by Say Hey Rob.
Okay. Well, I'm kind of pivoting off what I initially texted you guys.
Oh, shit.
So, sorry about that.
Oh, wild card.
I thought it was a little too cynical, but it's kind of along the same lines. Basically, guys, you know, we're all Giants fans here. You know, you two are two of the most knowledgeable fans that I know. And I ask you guys questions when I don't know shit. So I'd love to get your take on this. The last couple of years, we've heard a lot about how the Giants understand how high the bar is in the NL West with the Dodgers, the Padres, and everybody else. And like, no, we understand that, you know, we got to keep up with these guys. And, you know, we're not content being, you know, third at best, really. And which led to the firing of Farhan Zaidi, and now Buster Posey's taken over. So what I'm asking you guys is, since we don't know really anything about Buster Posey in terms of how he's going to build a baseball team other than what we know of him as a player, can you guys give me one reason why I should believe that this offseason is going to be any different than the last couple?
Oh, of course you're going to have me go first, Brooks. I think, you know, a lot of people wanted Farhan gone a year or two ago. I think realistically, and we've said it on this podcast many times, 2021 bought that front office more time. And it, you know, it showed, hey, we can win at a high level doing what we did. And then they doubled down on it in 2022. And then it was like, okay, well, we can get a refresher year. And they do it again. And then they do it again in 2024. And then it's like, okay, well, we need something different. And I think, and Rob said this before, it sounds like this was possibly something that they knew was coming down the road, just not exactly when. You know, Buster moves his family back out to the Bay Area, takes part ownership in the group of the organization. And, you know, you don't need to move back here to be a part owner of something. When you move back here, it's possibly you want to be more involved. Just, you know, nobody's thinking like, well, what's he going to do? Like a lot of people are clamoring for him to be a manager possibly. And I never thought that was realistic. I thought what ended up happening was probably more realistic, even though I didn't think it was going to happen. But I think when you get someone like Buster Posey, who won three championships, was a Giant his entire career, kind of looked at like the poster child of like, this is a guy that we can remember of being a good guy. Like nobody can really say a negative thing about Buster Posey. He's one of the most influential Giants of all time. That's New York and San Francisco eras combined. And the guy actually played the game, and he played it at a position in which, you know, at catcher, you have to see the entire field and you work with an entire pitching staff of starters and relievers, and you have to hit too. And you just understand the game and the camaraderie that comes with it and the 162 game grind throughout the season. I think just Buster Posey gets it. And so I'm excited because basically you're getting a player, a guy that's done it, and he's been in those rooms trying to talk and lure guys to San Francisco to come play. And now it's on him. And he has failed before in small circumstances, but Buster Posey's career as a player, as a human, as a just everything, he has succeeded in so many different ways. And so that gives me a lot of hope and optimism that he's going to succeed at this as well. And it may not happen in year one, but I'm optimistic and I'm hopeful that within 2 to 3 years, the Giants can be taken seriously again across Major League Baseball.
Man, what a monologue.
Yeah, that was a good one, man. Thank you.
That was.
I'm ready to go right now.
Can you play first base?
Yeah, a little bit.
Buster, if you're listening, Doug's got your back. Bet on Buster, please. Yeah, I'll.
Bob?
Bobby Evans.
Now you got it. Bob. Oh, I was thinking Melvin. Go ahead.
Oh, there you go. Too many Bobs, Robs, Robbies, Bobbies, all of them. One Gerald, though. There's one Gerald in the Giants from front office. I will add my 2 cents to that. Rob, you asked what kind of reasoning should we have for this being a different offseason? I think Buster has a chance to maybe look at a similar situation. The Texas Rangers, I think, Doug, you brought this up not too long ago, but Chris Young, former player, became either general manager, president of ops, whatever role he's in, hired Bochy. And one thing that they did before winning that long-awaited World Series championship for the Rangers was just kind of stacked the deck with starting pitching and was never going to run into a problem where, oh, so-and-so got hurt. Let's call up this, random pickup. No, they had bullets ready to go. And the injuries did happen, and they still found a way to always run out a strong starting staff amongst the injuries, right? So I think Buster is going to bring back that line of thinking where Farhan was kind of looking for go big. Carlos Rodon was kind of a big signing at the time. Blake Snell, big signing, right? It was very top heavy, and they didn't have the depth that they really needed to endure any rash of injuries that always happen. So I think Buster will be looking to do it, not dissimilar to what Farhan did in the early time of the Giants. Kevin Gausman, kind of finding value in some guys that are, maybe overlooked. Maybe you're pitching in a tough ballpark. Move him to Oracle Park. Let's see his numbers go up, So that is something that I do expect Buster to do, is to kind of focus on trying to outpitch the competition, because there's so many teams that they're competing with that have just grown these enormous monster offenses from within. I'm even talking about the Braves, who had a down year with Acuna getting hurt and like Olsen having Strider a down year.
Getting hurt.
And they were still dancing.
They were in it all the way to the end. But just the fact that you're not going to out hit a lot of these other teams, especially the ones in your division, like the Dodgers, but pitching beats good hitting any day. You have Mookie Betts and Teoscar Hernandez and Shohei Ohtani and Freddie Freeman and all that. But you go out there and you pitch your ass off, you can actually win the game without having much happen on offense. Matt Chapman and those guys, just a bloop that falls in, that type of thing. But you just need to get those big hitters out. Logan Webb and who? That's where it's going to happen, I think, for Buster. He's going to try to bring back the return to stacking the deck with starting pitching.
Hey, good answers, boys. I was half expecting one of you guys to be like, Rob, Buster's going to let Bob do the lineup this year. Relax and enjoy the ride. Next.
Next topic, please.
He's not going to be tapping Morse code to tell Bob Melvin to do a pitching change. Go lefty righty here. Yeah.
Morse code. Whoa, 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 whoa. Is this a little breaking news? Is Michael Morse come back to the Giant?
He is. He's going to be a chief happiness officer. He's going to be ready. He's going to pump everybody up.
All right, Rob. That's good question, Rob. Yeah. Great question, Aguado. All right.
Great answers.
Brooks, you're up, man. What are we talking about?
This is where I try to get real. We're on a Giants podcast. We have Giants fans listening. We just obviously were humbled by the fact that the Dodgers won. Did I already bring that up? I should get a mark on my record for bringing that up again.
If we were on the round the horn, I'd deduct points.
Yes, drink every time we bring up the Dodgers win the World Series.
Well, Rob, help this man.
Rob said it 47 times tonight.
So as I bring it up for a good reason, is the fact that, like I was saying earlier, the bar is pretty low. And a statement from Buster kind of stood out to me. He, during his press conference, he said he wanted to bring back, the memories, right? What's the quote again? The
memory making business.
It's like a Willy Wonka quote, isn't it?
It is.
It kind of is.
It is. It's like like a little bit of that. And the reason why I bring that up is, if we could all just get real here for a second, we need the Dodgers to kind of age out. You know, we need like Shohei Ohtani's contract to run out in 2031. Like, it's going to be a while. They're going to be stepping on the Giants' necks for a long time in the division. Giants will get some wins against them head to head, like they always do. It's a great rivalry. But what the Giants need to do is stop worrying so much about feeding the fans. Hey, we're going to try to win the World Series, and just shut up with that. Just go back to making a fun, competitive team. And what I want to see is stability. And I know injuries happens to lots of teams, but when an injury happens to a position, I don't want six different guys to take reps at that position. One, they go 0-for-6 stretch, they're out of the way, and they move on to the next guy, or some retread, some random guy that was so bad for so many years, but he can, you know, play some defense. Like, I want to see stability. We saw some of that last year. We saw Matt Chapman, Elliot Ramos, and Tyler Fitzgerald in the lineup basically every day, and that's a great start. You throw Jung Hoo Lee in there, and there's four guys that you think are going to be in there every day. I want to have another three or four guys in there that you know are going to be in there every day. You can take one position and you can platoon that. I kind of like what the Diamondbacks did last year. They had basically the same lineup every day, but they had Randall Grichuk and Jock platooning, was it?
Yeah, at DH, yeah.
Yeah, and they just kind of said, oh, righty, lefty, and like that was great. They just had that one. They were just trying to exploit the best part of their games, and great. I'm tired of the, you know, constant trying to get the lefty-righty edge. So I think I'm going a little bit ahead of myself here, but my main statement here is not worrying so much about trying to make the playoffs and doing and trying to feed the fans, you know, the Larry Bear light bulb stuff. Like, I just want them to field a fun, competitive team that you and I and all three of us here, we can just turn on the game and be like excited to watch these guys hit, excited to watch these guys pitch. I like the bullpen. I want to see let's see these awesome relievers come in and know the fact that maybe they're not going to win the World Series, and maybe they're, you know, 1 week away from 1 week away is the,
thought we were away. I thought we were done with that.
I thought we were done with that.
No, it'll never die.
It'll never die.
I won't let it.
But my main talking point, I'll toss it to I'll toss it to you, Rob, first. Yeah. What's the harm in just having a fun team that maybe doesn't win this year? It doesn't, you know, at best gets that last seat in the playoffs, but probably not going to win the World Series. You're still going to watch if it's a fun team, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to watch if it's a fun team, but we've been kind of gaslighted the last couple of years into thinking that, okay, the Giants, and this all goes back to 2021, doesn't it? It goes back mm-hmm. to, oh, the Giants really know what they're doing. And because they set the record for pinch hit home runs in one season. And mm-hmm. yeah, that was a lot of fun, but holy crap. Like, we all knew that was bullshit, you know? And then they run the same formula back in 22 and then in 23. And with a bunch of players that, as fans, we can't identify with because they're not going to be in the lineup every day and that we're not going to care about as, you know, as fans. It's like when you turn on the game, you want to know that, you know, six or seven guys every night are going to be in that lineup somewhere. Right. And that's where the Giants have kind of lost fans the last couple of years. And like I said, it goes back to 2021. They tried to their credit. It didn't work out, but they tried to do that last year. They went out and got Jorge Soler. They got Matt Chapman last minute. They got Blake Snell last minute. And and they got Jung-Hoo Lee early on, you know, and which that was kind of nice. It was like, okay, now we're getting serious. That's a staple at the top of the lineup. In theory, it was a guy who was going to hit 35 home runs in the DH spot every night and a gold glover at third base. The defending Cy Young Award winner behind Logan Webb. We were pumped up. We were all saying, okay, 86, 87, 88, we can do this. Injuries happened. Shit didn't work out. Like, out of all this, 2022, 2020, 2023, and 2024, the one I blame far on and the front office the least for is last season. Shit happens. It didn't work out for the Giants last year. And
they tried. They did try.
They tried. You know,
they spent money.
They did. It didn't work out. But yeah, like, let's look back at like a team that didn't win, although they were very close. Like the 2002 Giants. We knew every day, like, that lineup was going to be Bonds was going to be in there. Kent was going to be there. Benito Santiago was going to be in there. Reggie Sanders was going to be in there. David Bell was going to be there. Richard Reilly was going to be there. Yeah, Jeff Kent. You knew the guys who were going to be in the lineup. You had your, you know, Tsuyoshi Shinjos and stuff that were going to be in and out. But you knew.
Pedro played a little bit. Felice.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
Pedro Felice, Ramon Martinez. You know, they had good bench guys.
Damn, yeah, I'm going to throw them back.
Yeah, yeah. Sean Dunstan.
Rodriguez.
Yeah. But we knew who the core of that team was going to be. And they weren't all superstars. Reggie Sanders was a very good player. Benito Santiago was, he was a good player. David Bell, very good player.
Ellis Burks.
That was 03, I believe. But same thing. It's the same thing. But we could identify with those players and get behind them and felt like, you know, they were part of us on the field because it's the guys that we're watching every single day. And when Buster talks about the memory making business, it's like, hey, I can get that guy's jersey, and if I go to the ballpark and wear it, that motherfucker's gonna play. And maybe he'll hit a home run. Maybe he'll make a diving catch. Maybe he'll strike out 10 guys. You know, it's just it's stuff like that. That I think that's what Buster's getting at. And yeah, year one, maybe he doesn't make those promises. Like, yeah, our goal is to, you know, win the West, dude. You're not gonna win the West. You know, your goal would be like, by September, we want to be in it. That's our goal, and then hopefully we can catch lightning in the bottle, go up there. I know you can't really say that, but
yeah.
But you can use, you know, GM terms and ownership terms and tell us like, hey, we're committing to some young guys. You know, we like the guys that we brought in. We think they're gonna gel. We think they're gonna mesh. You know, get ready, get excited because we expect, you know, some good things to happen. Not we're gonna chase down the Dodgers. Not that we're gonna win 100 games.
Yeah.
You know,
our goal is to be buyers at the deadline.
Our goal is to be in this shit and not be waffling and twiddling our thumbs and like, oh God, should we buy, sell? We don't want to piss anybody off, but God, we don't want to lose this prospect that's not going to play till 2029. I don't know. But I agree, Brooks. I agree. Like that's what the Giants need to get back to. And hopefully that's what the memory making business of Buster Posey, that's what we are buying right now.
I'm torn on this, to be honest, because baseball's a different sport when it comes to year in, year out competing. I mean, we talk about the NFL and the NBA, especially the NFL, like it takes time to build a winner and then sustain it. In the NBA, you can, in today's NBA, you can kind of, you know, go buy the superstars and bulk up a super team real quick and become a potential, you know, NBA finals contender, even though sometimes it doesn't work out at all. In baseball, I think it's different because, I mean, it's simple. There's no salary cap. And now I know every team and organization operates differently, But I've said it before on here, whether it was Farhan Zaidi in charge or it's Buster Posey in charge, if they absolutely wanted to and say, fuck the luxury tax, you know, F the payroll, we're going to do what the Dodgers do and or beyond, even though, again, we're talking about realistic. I don't think it's realistic. But if the Giants wanted to be like, hey, we're going all in right now and we want to make a run at the World Series, I don't give a shit about winning the West. They could. They are 3 to 4 moves away of being like really strong moves, and it's like this team can win now. But also, yes, we talk about realistic. I don't think that's realistic. I think especially now it's a new front office, obviously led by Posey, and he's probably not going to want to just throw everything into 2024. This guy's going to be, or 25. This guy's thinking about the next 3, 4, 5 years. He, you know, is really big on scouting. He's really big on development within the organization. And also it's unprecedented. We don't know what the hell he's going to do. We don't know his approach with free agencies or if he's right. going to try and pull off a trade this winter or two, or, you know, what he will do at the trade deadline if the Giants are in a position to buy. We don't know. So I think it's kind of hard to tell right now. But realistically, yeah, I buy into your, hey, let's have a fun, competitive team this year. And maybe the goal is, like Rob said, it's like win the West. No, that's probably not realistic. But, you know, be a playoff team. If you could be a playoff team, you lose the wild card. That's obviously a step in the right direction. It's been going on 4 years now since they've reached October play. And so I get it. I think that if they wanted to, and maybe it's not even the right move. Look at the 2023 Mets. They went all in with their funds and it backfired. They were selling at the deadline. But with the right moves, with the right amount of money in baseball, who knows? You could win right away.
Yeah. No, it's, I know you're, like you said, you're torn between, like, the clear reasoning should be like, it's baseball. You have a favorite team. You want them to win. You want them to like keep getting better. And the Giants have just been stuck in the mud the last 3 years. Right.
Right.
And last thing I'll say, and then we'll get Doug's topic is you have a Giants team that is operating under this clean slate, Buster Posey, right? Like you mentioned, we don't know what these tendencies are. Everything Buster's done, he's excelled at. We already went over it. And I would not be surprised to see him full confidence doing everything that, you know, winning bids on free agents, like saying the right thing. That Farhan, hey, how you doing, guys? You want to go play with us? You know, it's like maybe he's not... Maybe it's not the the message. Maybe it's just literally Buster doesn't even need to say much. Just say, you see our roster, you see, you know, what we have, and we're trying to build on that. And you're the missing piece. Let's go. And he could say that to some free agents, and I think they will listen. They're going to have a different sort of respect for who's saying those words. Like we all have said many times, Buster's been there. He's gone through the trenches. He's earned more respect in this game than any Giant in recent memory. And he isn't saying goodbye, I'm going off to my mansion and see you later. He's saying, I want to do this. I want to win at the executive level. And my whole point, the whole topic that I brought up is just the idea of Buster just creating, mostly on the offensive side, but creating a roster, a lineup that you just don't need to touch. And when injuries happen, you put in another guy and you don't need to touch it. You just let it be. Let it be. Don't be afraid to bring up the prospects. Don't be afraid to trade the prospects. Don't be afraid to sign this guy for an extra, oh, he wants 6 years. Well, we want to give him 5. Give him 6 years. If he sucks in the 6th year, cut his ass. We don't care about money in 2031. Let's win now. And I, like we all had said, it might not happen right away. Year one doesn't mean Buster needs to prove everybody. He's going to open up the checkbook of all the owner's stuff. Like, let's let certain contracts expire and then he can go. Maybe there's a bigger free agent class that he's excited about in 2026 or 2027. Let's find our pacing on the spending level. But I want to see him create a lineup that you just let it be, whether it's bringing up guys like Bryce Eldridge so early unprecedented for Giants, a 20-year-old. What? Well, maybe you just let these guys play baseball and let him, whoever that is, go through their rough patches and don't get too worried about, oh God, we got to stay competitive. We got to get into the playoffs. We got to win the World Series. No, just let the players play and let the fans get to know these guys and get that rapport. And then the jersey sales start. Right. So that's my take.
Great take. Sticking with it. And just, it made me think about it real quick before we move on to mine. You know, you bring up, screw the sixth year. If the guy want, you know, you want to offer him five, give him six. Well, look what they just did with Matt Chapman.
Mm-hmm.
Good chance that, you know, for 3 to 4 years, you know, for sure 2 to 3, possibly 3 to 4, you get a really good, really good glove, and you get a, you know, well above average bat in Matt Chapman, and you worry about years 5 and 6 when they get there. You don't, you know, who cares? So, and who was involved in that?
That was basically Buster's first deal.
Boom. And he wasn't even in charge yet. And now obviously there's more strings to it, but
yeah,
he was somewhat involved in that. And so that could be foreshadowing to, hey, not afraid to go out and be aggressive and give a little more than we would have been comfortable in recent years. So
right,
it's a good example for sure of what you just said. So,
hey, Doug, before you do your topic, I got to say this. I totally omitted JT Snow when I was talking about the 2002.
Oh my God. And we didn't even notice it.
On the off chance that fool's listening. Sorry, JT, you were my second favorite player on those teams. So
that's true. Behind 25.
I just forgot. Gosh. I just forgot. I'm so sorry.
I can vouch for that. Rob loved JT Snow as much as I loved Rich Aurelia. So
that adds to the point though, Rob, is that they're so stacked that we could just forget.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah, JT, sorry, man, just in case.
So stack it.
All right, before we move on, I just have to omit, I forgot, Leavon Hernandez, okay? I'm kidding. All right, let's move on to the last topic, and it's mine. I feel like I could talk about this for an hour, but try and fit it into 10, 15 minutes.
Please don't.
Mine is, I want to get your guys' thoughts on compensatory picks and the qualifying offer. Obviously, you know, for those who are, you know, not super advanced into baseball terms, qualifying offer goes to a player that's obviously never received it before from a team, and it is basically the value of the top 125 highest paid contracts in baseball. It's the mean of that, so the average, you know, this year I think it's just over $21 million. Only one person accepted it. It was Nick Martinez with the Reds, so he's returning on that qualifying offer deal. Now, all the other guys that were qualified for the qualifying offer rejected it, which means if and when they sign, they could still sign with the team that they were previously with, but if they leave and sign with another team, basically there is some semi-punishment for the new team that is taking over for that player. They could lose, a round A pick, which is after the first round, if it's over $50 million. And I'm trying to give some, like, you know, context here so it makes sense. So, like, for this year example, after the first round, if this player signs for $50+ million in a contract, Christian Walker, Willie Adames, Corbin Burns, Brooks' favorite, and Anthony Santander, if they sign, which they will all have $50+ million contracts. If they go to new teams, they will, the team that is signing them will lose a pick.
And the reason why those four, those are all small market, quote unquote, teams, the Brewers, the D-backs and D-backs. Stuff like that. So that's the penalty is so grave, because they're like, boo hoo, these clubs can't compete with the big spenders like the Dodgers. So you owe them an even better compensation.
And this all started back in 2012 to kind of set a competitive balance to Major League Baseball when the new CBA was passed then. And then they kind of modified it again in, I think, 2017. So point being, you know, we could, like I said, we can go on and on about this. I have a strong opinion on it. I know a lot of people disagree with it, especially in Giants chatter, and that's fine. I just thought it would be important to talk about. I just want to get your guys' thoughts and semi-detailed responses about, would you rather not sign a free agent and protect that pick? Or would you like to, you know, just go get the proven commodity, which I'm obviously for, and I'll talk a little more at the end about specifics, but you know, that at least gets the ball rolling on this conversation. We'll start with Brooks on this one.
I will say somewhere in there is also international bonus pool money that you got
$1 million.
Yeah. Yes. So,
yep.
And it's different for every varying tier and all that fun stuff. But
yes.
I will say this. What that means is that player that declines the qualifying offer, it's a burden to them to get the qualifying offer when you know that they're not going to, hey, I'm worth more than $21 million. I had this amazing year. So it is a burden for them, because what it does is it limits the amount of suitors that are going to be serious buyers for that player services, because that club holds really tight the values of, oh, we don't want to lose that draft pick. We don't want to lose that bonus pool money, right? So it actually narrows down the field of teams that are going to be seriously saying, hey, player X, we'll give you $100+ million. Mm-hmm. And we are serious, because you know we're serious. We're going to give up a draft pick to sign you. And instead of 10 teams going after them, seriously, it's maybe four. And now you have a 25% chance, you know, like that kind of thing. So it is a good thing to actually go after some of these players, because you know it's going to be less of a competition. I also want to add in there, certain clubs like the Giants have not had a great history of drafting in that first or second, 1A or second round and stuff like that. You can go as far back to the offseason after 2015 with our returning Bobby Evans dished out a big deal to Johnny Cueto and Jeff Samardzija, and they lost they lost at least one draft pick and maybe another sandwich pick somewhere. But that pick was a first rounder. That's how bad it was back there. They lost their first round pick and they didn't draft until the second round. They ended up drafting Brian Reynolds. So that was like, hey, he's like a first rounder anyways. And then they traded him and the rest of history. But they did not get a first rounder that year. So that goes to show, that kind of makes my point for me, is that they still, without a first round pick that year, they still got Brian Reynolds in the second round. That's one of their best first round picks of all time. And he wasn't even a first round pick.
He never played for the Giants. Yeah,
that's right. And Andrew McCutchen was his teammate this year in Pittsburgh. Gotta love it. I love how baseball works like that. It's the best. But they're all laughing at the Giants because of that, but we're all laughing because, you know, you had Barry Bonds, you gave him to the Giants. So thank you. I can go on all day and about that. I just want to add one last wrinkle to it, is that does a guy like Buster care about that? Probably yes and no. He's like you were mentioning, Rob and Doug, he's all about player development and kind of how else are you going to develop if you're not, you know, losing out on some of these guys that you are, you know, if they want to sign two of these guys, they're going to have to keep forfeiting more and more. So it makes me feel like someone like Blake Snell might be a little bit more appealing to Buster because he knows he doesn't have to give up a draft pick. So.
Man, Brooks, you said it all, man.
So that's it.
Rob's like, thank you.
No. I totally agree with all that, but especially with Buster, you know, being year one, yeah, I think he'd be a little more reluctant to give up those comp picks because obviously, dude has a vision. You know, he wants to develop, you know, his own farm of players, his own system. And but for us, the fans, like, I mean, a lot of us, especially when we get shoved in our face every year about how much the Giants are worth and everything, we don't give a fuck about comp picks. We just don't. Like in our world, even though like we just alluded to a minute ago, where we know realistically the Giants probably will not be competing for World Series next year, it's like we feel like they should most of the time. And if you know if they gotta go out of their ways, spend more on premium players now to keep up with what the Joneses of the National League. Do it, because, you know, hell, by next year we could all be dead, right? Like we just don't care, really.
That's
really
the new Giants slogan.
Straight for it.
Yeah,
nothing, I mean, diet.
Really, but I right now, currently at year one of Buster Posey, I can see why he'd be a little reluctant to go down that route. But on the whole, you know, I really don't care about losing comp picks. I know a lot of people do, and I'm not one of them. Like,
shout out Daniel if you're listening, Daniel V. I know you're big on the comp picks. Hey, maybe this is the one year.
They're important. I know that they are important, but to me, they're more important to teams like you said, Brooks. The smaller market teams like the Orioles, who are freaking out about that shit, and the Nationals.
Well, they draft well, Rob.
I know they draft well. The Giants don't draft well, so yeah. But they really need those picks because they know they're not going to be big players in free agency. And I think throughout our lifetime, you know, as fans and with all the Giants teams, you know, we've never worried about that very much. And especially like, and once you start to worry about it, it's like, man, the Giants kind of suck. You know, what's going on, you know, in the farm system, like this before social media. And we really wondered like how these guys look in, you know, when we couldn't pull up their stats every day. And, you know, and you're looking and you're like, oh, okay. The farm's coming on a little bit. There is hope. But see, we've been hearing that there is hope now for 4 or 5 years, and really nothing's come from it outside of 2021. So I say screw that shit. You know, let's see some of that money that we see at the end of every year about how much the Giants are worth, and get some players that can help now.
Let's go.
All right. I just want to. I will just give a little positive to the comp picks. But I do want to factor in, this was when the format was a little different. It was early on after the qualifying offer and comp picks became something. You know, Mike Trout and Aaron Judge were both comp picks. I will throw that out there. So you can strike gold with them. But it doesn't mean you're always going to. Because now I'm going to go back to – I'm going to give 2 years of example, okay? And then, you know, we'll start wrapping up. 2019. So this is 5 years ago. Most guys that are going to pan out have reached the major leagues, okay? These are all comp picks. Now, in 2019, only Jose Abreu and Jake Odorizzi accepted the qualifying offer of $17.8 million, okay? Now, this is across Major League Baseball. Rejected. Starts off, you know, non-intentional. Madison Bumgarner with the Giants. With their comp pick, because he signed with the D-backs, Nick Sweeney, number 67 overall. How's he doing? Garrett Cole with the Astros, okay? Signed with the Yankees. Alex Santos was their comp pick. Drafted by the Astros at number 72 overall, okay? Another one. Marcell Ozuna declined it with the Cards. Signed with the Braves. Alec Burleson with pick number 70 with the Braves. Have you guys heard of a couple of these guys?
Could you imagine the Braves being like, no, we can't sign Ozuna. We don't want to give up.
Listen, that draft. I won't keep going specific like who the major league guys are, but I'm just look, number 70 or 71, Sammy Infante, Jimmy Glowinski. Oh, wait, he's a Giant. Number 69 overall, nice. Isaiah Green with the Mets. I mean, 2018, okay, the only guy that accepted it, 17.9 again that year as well. Hyunjin Ryu with the Dodgers. Okay, Patrick Corbin to the D-backs. What did the D-backs do? Brendan Malone at number 33 overall. Never heard of him. Sorry, I know some of these prospects might be like, you know, names, but my point is, I can keep going. My point is, most of the time, even in the first, second, or third rounds, you're going to miss a lot. Point blank, again, I could go on for another 45 minutes about this. Go get the proven commodity. Fuck the comp pick. And I understand it's different for organizations. And Brooks, you made a fantastic point about how,
of course,
when you go for the proven, you know, star or whatever, it can get narrowed down to a few teams because in this age with elite teams and elite spending and just pure good old American capitalism, you're going to have a handful of teams that are going to be like, hey, we'll throw our towel in the ring for spending $400-$500-$600 million on this guy. It doesn't even have to be. It could be $100-$200 million for a star, not a superstar guy. But the comp picks are really to try and help the A's, the Rays, who, you know, they know how to draft though and develop.
Hey, they both need ballparks, right?
I'm sorry, I went for that. That's unfortunate. But but they know how to develop and they compete, you know. I'm talking about the Rays, but the other small teams in most years they've gotten better lately, but the Royals or Baltimore. You know, the Reds have struggled. Tigers. The Pirates, Baltimore up until recently, the Tigers up until recently. You know, those teams can really bank on comp picks because they're not going to be until recently going out and trying to sign a star. So, yes, if we're talking about the big market teams, especially specifically our Giants that should be in the running for signing many of these, you know, a handful of stars this offseason, like the comp pick should be an afterthought. I'm sorry. And yes, the $1 million for the international signing pool. Great. Cool. You know, like, go get the proven commodity is what I got to say.
Well, and just one more positive for the pro comp side, comp pick side of this is that some of those comp picks, they could eventually be traded. You know, that player could be traded if he's worth a shit for a proven commodity, for a badass in a blockbuster trade. You know, so I mean, there's pros and cons, obviously, but obviously, you know, I'm more on the forget about it. Let's win now.
Yep. And you don't have to go very far back, guys. The last time the Giants surrendered a draft pick to sign a guy, Matt Chapman. Remember that guy? He declined the Blue Jays qualifying offer, and the Giants said, well, we don't care. We want to get this guy, right?
And the Blue Jays got what pick?
I don't even know. Something that is a yummy Canadian sandwich pick. That's shout out Chris Corbett.
I was like, Chris knows.
It is literally a sandwich pick. That's funny you say that.
It is funny.
It's sandwiched right in there.
I do. Chris Corbett, please enjoy a Canadian sandwich. And, you know, whatever Matt Chapman – Whatever player that the Blue Jays got out of Chapman declining the QO, I hope he turns into the next R.A. Dickey, knuckleballer, somebody.
I was going to say the next Matt Chapman, but yeah, go
there ahead. You go, next. I had to throw out the random Blue Jay. One last part about it. We're basically 95% of the time we're talking about a comp pick. Do you want to add in there about the international bonus pool money, the fact that the Giants are at the very bottom in terms of the amount of dollars they have to spend on international free agents, right next to them in that tier at the very lowest is the Dodgers. It's funny.
World champs.
Hey, world the champs. Giants are just like the Dodgers. Ask anybody. My main point is that, you know, they've hit some and they've missed some in the international signings. You know, Luciano and Matos, are they staples yet? I don't know. We'll see. But those were a couple international signings. And then you can just look no further to a guy that basically is represented as an international signing is Jung Hoo Lee. You know, they got him in their own way. Mm-hmm. As literally a posting fee and winning a bid on him versus actually having mm-hmm. to spend the bonus pool money. So it's like you can get creative there. I'm not too concerned about the Giants not being able to sign the best 16-year-old out of the Bahamas because of signing Anthony Santander for like 5 years, $100 million. Like, give me Santander and 16-year-old in 2034. Dude, you're going to be killing it, bro. I know it. not right now. So anyways, I say the moral of this story is screw the comp pick, get fun players that are good now, and worry about lottery tickets another time.
Trade for players, sign players, draft and develop players. There's one team that does it really well. Cover your ear, Giants fans. Brooks. A little quick plug before you go. Any PPPs coming out? Pitcher Park Podcast.
Triple P with Jeff Young. I'm glad you asked. We are actually recording a couple episodes tomorrow/today, if you're listening to it today. We are recording on Friday, a couple episodes. Those will be out over the weekend. And yeah, it's been, we've been kind of the opposite of Say Hey Pod. We've been kind of slow in recording during this period because you guys have been doing such a good job. You know, we don't have anything else to say. You know,
our backs hurt.
That's facts. Triple facts. But you know, I am excited for what's to come. We can do a 9-minute episode on one of the Carsons and another 9-minute episode on the other Carson. If you missed it, obviously the Giants protected Carson Seymour and Carson Ragsdale from being Rule 5 eligible, so they've been added to the 40-man roster. And I just want to pour one out for Rob's boy, Kaiwei Tang.
Very sad.
The Hu Tang clan is no more. That was,
hey, you know what, Brooks? That popped up after a really bad day at work too.
Aww.
And I was scrolling the timeline. And I saw Tang clan. I saw he was toast, and I just
still got Yu Hu though. Still got Yu Hu. Don't worry.
Yeah, you know, Yu Hu's still here, but yeah, that ruined my day and my next morning.
It probably would. And it's a time where everyone else was doing the same thing, protecting guys, adding them to the 40-man roster. So let me see our boy Kaiwei Tang slipping through and making it back to SAC. Fingers crossed, because when that guy's on, he's striking out 11. And
we can't just say SAC anymore, man. We got to specify. We're talking Rivercats or we're talking A's?
Not the SAC-letics. Sorry. I've actually never described him as the Sackletics. Now I don't know if I can not use that anymore. Yes, I think Kaiwei Tang is here to stay. Well, fingers crossed. But you know, you guys, this is too much fun. I love being on the Say Hey Pod, especially when we got Buster Ball. You know, it's fun. It's a fun time to be a Giants fan, I think. Did I mention the Dodgers won the World Series? Got that three times.
Oh, Rob. Thank you.
Oh, drinking.
Oh, he's out of beer.
I'm out of beer, guys.
I'm pouring out for Rob.
I'll have to refill after this, and I'll send it to you guys.
But the dust has settled on that trophy. The parade already, you know, the confetti's been swept up down Broadway or whatever street they have down in L.A. And it's time to move on. Let's go get the Giants back to prominence and maybe a winning record. Wink, wink. Let's see.
Let's have some fun.
Fun ball memories.
Join Giants Chatter on Facebook. Follow us on X at Say Hey Doug, at Brooks Newton, at Say Hey Rob, and of course at Say Hey Podcast. Make sure you joined up on there. And we appreciate your support. If we don't see you before next Thursday, have a happy Thanksgiving and spending time with your friends and family and food and football, the most four important F's there are. So for Say Hey Doug, Say Hey Rob, and Say Hey Brooks, until next time, go Giants. Sign of Domus.
Go Giants. Making memories.
Spend that money, Buster.
Say hey.
Say hey.